Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you.
Ooh. We got a couple of little loose cannons in there.
Woo!
I think between him and who's our young fella? Bo Nix and
Bo Nix.
Xander. That's Bo my two favorite guys.
Bo Nickel? Yeah, yeah. Bo Nickel? Called him Bo Nix.
He called him Bo Nix.
It's close.
Oh, did I? Bo Nickel. He does have those wrestling ears, though.
Day Tough called Tobin Bo Thickle.
Such a bastard. Objectively a point, though. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. The Dolphins, back on the practice field today, getting ready for the Las Vegas Raiders. They suck. Also awkward because, Leroy, do you recall this earlier in the year? Their head coach is Antonio Pierce. And, well, he does not believe the quarterback playing against him this week should be playing.
A broader question. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but Tua suffered another concussion. When you have players, and I know every player is different, but when somebody has a history of concussions, do you handle that any differently as a head coach?
I'll be honest. I'll just tell him to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth to play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point, you know, he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
And while it may seem like that was in good intentions, maybe all along it was to lead to this Week 11 matchup. He didn't want to face him.
I would say this. Wait. Is that as a player, I think we need to do a better job of understanding the position that Tua was in and respecting, you know, what we've gone through,
mm-hmm.
right? For other players to tell somebody what they should or shouldn't do when nobody said that when T.O. Had to sign a release to go out there and play with a pin in his ankle, the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? There's been a lot of situations where, and I get the head injuries are different, and that's the, you know, that's the hot topic right now. But as a player, I understand, you know, why you do it. And everybody make it about the money. Oh, you got plenty of money. You don't do it because of the money. The money confirms what you're doing, but you don't do it just for the money. And I think other players who understand that should probably be a little more sympathetic to what Tua was going through and the decision that Tua had to make. I mean, nobody said that when who's the linebacker who had a stroke?
Teddy Bruschi?
Teddy Bruschi. Okay?
I think people did say that, actually. I think people did say that.
Took a year off.
Because here's the... he took the rest of that year off. He was back the next year.
Yeah.
So, but here's the deal. Is that Teddy had medical professionals advising him, not other players.
I don't think Antonio Pierce cares at all. I think he just wanted to face Skylar Thompson.
Tobin, don't you? I mean, Leroy, did you not hear what Tobin said?
I think he just wanted to face Skylar Thompson.
You get serious.
That's what that was all about.
I understand.
He didn't give a rat's ass about Tua's health.
He didn't care.
He's got Gardner Minshew, and he wanted a fair fight.
You forget who you're dealing with, Leroy. You're giving a true, profound, concise, accurate, detailed account of what players. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear that Antonio Pierce was scared of Tua.
I think he is scared of Tua. Why else say it? No head coaches say something like that. Hey, he got in the honest tree a little bit too much.
I'm looking at him. I'm like, Leroy forgot.
I knew that, but I have to be me. Right?
I know.
I can't buy into that craziness, right? That man, let me ask you a question.
What?
You think any athlete out there is afraid to face any other athlete?
He's not an athlete. He's a coach now.
Even more so. You think he afraid? You think he going to ever say to anybody, ooh, that Tua, he scares me?
I think they were fresh off a win against the Ravens, okay? And he looked at that schedule and goes, hey, that's a win. That's a loss. In Miami, I really wouldn't want to play as Tua again. I should say that he's going to retire.
That will be an awkward conversation before or after the game.
Hey, ooh,
not really.
Ooh, Tua, no because hard feelings, dude.
Because again,
I'm actually surprised nobody asked Tua about it yesterday.
Here's what Tua's going to say. You ready? He's going to say, look, everybody had their opinion as far as I'm concerned, but it was my decision. That's it.
I think what Tua should do, okay?
Is say, keep your name out my mouth?
No. Here's what you do.
And then slap him?
What you do is, all right, we got to bring back something that isn't really allowed anymore, but we got to bring it back. Speaking of T.O., we need to bring back the touchdown prop. And so what we do is, Tua, he throws a couple tutties against the Raiders, Leroy, and then I want Tua to take out one of those canes, but the ones with like the tennis balls on the bottom of them, and I want him to walk by Antonio Pierce with his back kind of hunched, you know?
That won't create a fight.
Or somebody plants a wooden rocking chair in the end zone for Tua, and somebody and then Tyreek comes and puts a blanket on him, you know? What? Oh, all of a sudden we can't bring back props?
You want to bring a rocking chair on the field?
I think that'd be funny. That would be funny.
What is wrong with you?
Why
man?
Not? We just unveil it.
Like, where do you get a rocking chair from? Like, the rocking chair is just right there.
Look,
in the tunnel, and the minute he scores,
easy answer. Comes. Oh, okay. You think it's not easy? Okay, here's all we got to do. We hail Zach Sealer to take his pickup truck. It'll be like, and Tua calls him up. Burr, burr. Hey, Zach, I got a great idea. So I'm going to throw a couple tutties today against the Raiders. I need you to stop by Cracker Barrel. Get me a couple rocking chairs at the front, you know? Just, you know, throw him a couple extra bucks right there. Just take the display model. And then Zeal's like, I got you, Uno.
So on his way, on his way to the stadium, he stops by the Cracker Barrel right there off Sheridan, right there on Davey, right by the 75. Mm-hmm. And then he grabs himself, what, two rocking chairs?
Two rocking chairs, one for each end zone, because you don't know what side you're going to be on.
One in each tunnel?
Exactly,
okay, dude. I'm with you. Let's go.
Exactly. And so you plant him on each end zone. So after Tua throws his second tutty, he gets into the rocking chair, and then somebody throws a nice warm fleece on him as if he's taking a nap like an old man.
Oh.
Retirement.
Hmm.
And then like Kevin Harlan's going to be like, what is this for? And then they'll have to play Antonio Pierce's comments and be like, I bet he feels a fool now.
So you like, they're going to throw something over him like he's the king of soul?
Yeah, you got it, like, because the old like love of...
You're going to throw him like he's James Brown?
Well, the old love of blanket and rocker. So I just think that's what you need to do.
Somebody said he just need to borrow your rocker, Leroy. Hey.
Exactly! Don't tell me to retire. Why don't you retire from coaching, Antonio Pierce?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I always like a little something on my legs. I don't know what it is.
We'll take a quick break. Back after this.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
Ah, welcome back, you rascals. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Whiskey Stars and Cigars is almost here. It's next Wednesday. It's presented by WQM and Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. Join us November 20th at our new location, Tabacon Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. You guys can enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. That is coming up next Wednesday, November 20th at Tabacon Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year. Sponsored by the main man. There's nobody to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. And the injury law firm of Cohen & Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. We're on the case of the Dolphins trying to beat the soft allegations thrown out by one Deshaun Elliott. Spelled two T's there.
You know what's crazy?
Yep.
I played for
a lot of
three
teams.
Different franchises. And although a couple of them didn't end the way I would have liked, I've never had anything bad to say.
Oh, right? About the teams you left?
Or the people.
Except for Cleveland.
I didn't.
The situation.
The situation was
but
bad.
But not the people.
But I never said nothing bad about, you know, even the owner or the coaches or whatever. That sounds like hurt feelings.
It does sound like hurt feelings.
It's like if you date somebody for a long period of time and then break up with them and then all of a sudden you call them trash, well, you were with them. Why were you with them so long then?
Well, we're emotional people, Leroy. We got to get over hurt.
But I'm just saying that's not.
He definitely went like behind.
There's emotional and there's petty.
He definitely went
if
behind.
You would have said that right after the season.
Well, there's emotional petty too. People are emotional pettiness.
I got you, but you know what I'm saying.
I know. I get what you're saying. You're right. But I'm just saying what's going to happen is he's going to, you know how it is. Hoping they'll talk about it. And in another year or two, they'll take back the comments, especially if they're on the streets and the Dolphins have a job opportunity. Oh, yeah, you want to mend fences. So he'll come back.
But guess what? When players would do that, I'm like, don't come and dap me up before the game. Right?
Facts.
Like, you going to trash – like, you seem like you was having a good time. You was here till they cut you or they traded you. So don't then all of a sudden want to trash the people that – your boys that you was with. You know what I'm saying? Like, he not only talking about the franchise, he talking about the players.
The players, right.
So he calling all the guys he was hanging out with, thick as thieves and whatever, he calling them soft.
Typical rap behavior, dude.
So, yeah, but I ain't – like, that just sounds – it sounds, while you're trying to make your point, it makes you look worse. Because you got hurt feelings that you ain't there no more. That's what it sounds like.
Here was the snowman, Javon Holland, who, by the way, has been playing through a broken hand and and a knee
injury. Yeah, that's not tough.
He's not tough, though.
He got a billy club.
He's not tough. Javon Holland responding to the comments of his former meeting room mate, Deshaun Elliott. And this is what the snowman had to say.
I don't know if you've seen about this on social media, but a guy who was in your room last year, Deshaun Elliott, said on a podcast, he said, the team I was on last year, the majority of the team were not mentally tough individuals. They were soft as bleep. Have you heard that he had made that comment? What's your reaction? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I heard him make the comments. I saw the clip. I mean, honestly, man, if you want to call somebody out, go ahead and do it and drop names. But other than that, I mean, you know, it's whatever makes you, you know, whatever makes your boat float, you know, whatever allows you to have, you know, a good night of sleep. And as it is what it is. But if you're not naming nobody, you're not calling nobody out, then all the rest of the comments are just empty. He's just talking at that point. So, yeah, you know, I wish nothing but the best for Deshaun. He's having a great year. So I hope he can continue that success. But other than that, I mean, that shit really don't mean nothing to me. So,
man.
That's it. See what I'm saying? Like, unless he go call somebody soft, which he ain't gonna do, then I'm like,
hey man, he had two busted knees, Vlad.
I'm just saying,
he had two bad knees.
Let's talk about last season.
Hey,
all I know is there was more Kia Hollywood appearances than games last season.
So are you saying that he played more with Hockman than he did with Deshaun Elliott last year?
I think his Dolphin teammate last year was Channing Crowder.
I don't like that.
I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying. If he's talking about Lassie, that's the only thing he can talk about.
I think the thing is just like, look, it's not something that hasn't been thrown at the Dolphins. Hell, Poyer said it, you know, nicer coming into the year, and they talked about the whole bully mentality thing. I think if anything, like, look, you know, bulletin board material, even if it's from a team you're not playing, I think Mike McDaniel could probably use this as fuel in a positive way. But I thought it was just kind of sleazy. Like, really? Like, this is what you're going to do?
I told you what it was. It was like, wait, first of all, you play on a team that's 2-7. Right?
2-6.
So, 2-6. So, my question to you is, how tough have you been?
Who?
Oh, no, not him now. He's on the Steelers.
He's on the Steelers.
Oh, you're talking about.
Oh, he was talking about the Dolphins. He was talking about the Dolphins. Balling.
Never mind.
No,
But still, it just seems like, you know, like, again, I went from a terrible team when I was in Baltimore to a team that ended up in the NFC Championship game and another team that went to the playoffs.
But none of your teams were ever labeled soft.
Huh?
None of your teams were ever labeled soft. Whether it was the 15-1 Vikings, they might have had all the talent in the world, but they were never considered soft.
I think the one
and they were never considered.
It's not even
soft. When you call somebody soft in sports.
To me,
it's like when boxers. If a boxer calls another boxer soft,
right,
right, like the job entails toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that to take that shot, pretty much, Javon said it the best. Is that if you ain't gonna call nobody no names and just make just random, you know, general comments?
Yeah, but he generally,
right, like you had a view of the whole team.
What do you think is the worst comment though? Like, is it the mentally soft thing, or is it him claiming that people checked out after the Titans lost? Like the team kind of lacked. He didn't say lack, but he was basically like, it took the heart out of us after we lost that Titans game.
Those things happen in sports. It's not a soft thing. You don't even realize it's happening when you just can't get rid of that. It's like, how long did it take the Canes to get over that Georgia Tech loss 2 years ago, last year?
Very clearly they did not.
They haven't.
You see what I'm saying?
But what, is there a label that the Canes are just dumb all of a sudden now? Like, there's no label to them.
But here's what makes you soft. You can say what you want about soft or not. When a team run for 200-plus yards against you,
that's not tough.
That is the definition of soft, no matter how you put it.
So,
no matter how you put it.
But there was definitely, like, look, there was definitely issues in that defensive room last year, too. Like, they didn't seem to love Vic Fangio, or maybe Deshaun Watson, or maybe Deshaun Elliott thought there was too much whining from the guys who were, because everybody was kind of in a spot where Xavier Howard's come out publicly against Vic Fangio. Javon Holland very clearly didn't like him. Jalen Ramsey very clearly didn't like him. Maybe he's one of those guys like, hey, shut up, let's do our job. I don't know. Maybe that didn't go well with him. And a guy like Mike Tomlin, you know, very clearly that guy is no nonsense. Everybody kind of falls in line with him. That's just how it rolls. And I think maybe what it was is very clearly the guys in the defense were not happy with how it was being run last year. But
put that on Mike McDaniel when in the end they got rid of the coach.
Right, but he wasn't there. Well, he wasn't there for them getting rid of him. And also, like, maybe the defenders, I think there's probably part of them that looked at the offense and be like, oh, the offense gets input. The offense gets to say this. And it's kind of like, you know, the players get a big say in it. And maybe Deshaun Elliott looked at all of the Dolphins whining. And he's like, this is soft, man. Why are we being such crybabies all the time? You know, I don't know.
Not to piggyback what you're saying.
I would say this, though. For as much as the defense complained, they were not bad.
Last season, they were a top 10 defense. That's what I'm saying.
Which is crazy that and so as an athlete, sometimes I'm put in a position where I feel that I'm not able to do what I do best. But if your team is having success, you kind of have to eat it. That's the only problem I had with the way they were going back and forth with Vic Fangio, is that you can say what you want about Vic Fangio, but it's not for lack of production.
Yeah.
I give you a perfect example. Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator when I was in Cleveland with Bill Belichick. They hated him. Hated him. Top five defense every year. Hated him, though. They all cried like babies when he left.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
That's a case in point. Like, Fangs, everybody hated Fangs, but guess what? Fangs had you as a top 10 defense. And what's his name? Elliott could be talking. It's easy to talk now when you see that the Dolphins were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Fangs has a top five defense with Philadelphia, and you're on a team.
I mean,
team,
his credentials are tried, right now. Man. Like, you can't. We can say that it didn't work well for whatever reason, but the guy is credentialed as a defensive coordinator. But nobody can say otherwise about that. And the guy literally was playing with dudes off the street by the end of the season.
And Elliott now is on a Steelers team that's, you know, in the playoff hunt, that was in first place, half game behind the Ravens. So it's easier now to talk when you're seeing success and the team that you left is struggling. But
we got a big MMA card coming up this weekend, all right? You don't want to be tapping out in the bedroom, dude, all right? You need to be able to go the distance and finish the old rear naked poke. That's why you need to try Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but don't do that face, Leroy. Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can chew it and do it.
Did you just accuse somebody of doing a rear naked poke?
He just said rear naked poke. That's a new definition of ground and pound now.
Whether you're man, that's a point right there, Vlad. Whether you're man, you're looking to spice things up, or you're sick of trying to impress somebody new, you want to feel like a champ? Try Blue Chew. And I got a great deal for all our listeners out there. You guys can try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. Use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. You're paying just $5 for shipping, but you are getting your first month of Blue Chew for free. So go to BlueChew.com. Use the promo code SHOWPONY. You're getting that first month for you for free. And speaking of MMA, the great Chris Weidman's going to join us next. Back after
Hour 2 with Tobin and Leroy.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More so. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. I apologize. Schmeathan says that we're all infants.
What? What do you mean? I might have been your best reader.
Too immature, I guess, for old Schmeathan Schmolnick.
That was your best reader.
Oh, yeah. He's got a grip on. He got a good grip on adulthood.
Leroy, can you get a weather update from the Demesman and Dover law firm? Your accidentattorneys.com, free consultations 24/7. Call them at 866-954-MORE.
As I got up this morning to do my normal morning outside stuff, I realized, even though the temperature is warm, there's a cool breeze, which means there's no humidity. Humidity's quite low. Humidity's quite low, that means there's a slight chance for rain. Start there.
Mm.
The winds are whipping, however, and they're coming out of the east at about 15 plus miles an hour. But, like I said, it felt cooler, but it's still 80, 85 degrees. So, the only reason why that could feel cooler is if there's no humidity.
How do you do?
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a first for everything.
What did I miss?
It's 81 degrees.
Wow.
I said 80, 85, didn't I?
You said 85. You didn't say no 80 okay. to 85. You said 85. That's 4 degrees below, so... For the first time ever.
Surprised it's not cooking already.
You were a little off.
When do we get a cool... Can I get a 60s morning? Can I get a 60s morning anytime soon?
A couple of weeks ago, it was right around 70.
Like, let's go.
Need a little. But down here, it's not the heat. It's the humidity. So in the middle of the summer, it could be 80 degrees and it feel like it's 95.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the humidity. And feel like you got a blanket over your face all day. This time of year, it could be 80, 85, but it feels cooler because you got that breeze and there's no humidity or very low humidity.
Very low humidity. We're expected to be joined by UFC former champion Chris Weidman here in a matter of minutes. He's going to be fighting at UFC 309. He's making his return to New York. He's, of course, a native New Yorker, won the championship against Anderson Silva. We had Bo Nickel on earlier in the show.
John Jones was at the Garden last night.
He was at the Knicks game?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
He was at the Knicks game and signing autographs, taking pictures.
Kind of interesting thing going on, man, with this whole Tom Aspinall thing. Like, he really does not. He's really like something. Whatever Aspinall said that bothered him. He walked out of an interview with like some British television network. He goes, "You're Aspinall, guys. I'm out of here."
Really?
I was like, "Whoa!"
So there's beef. There's like legit beef.
Seems like it. It seems like it, but I don't know. You know, there's part of me that gets him. Like, he gets to go out on his own terms. You know, he's done this for a very long time.
I mean, he's been in the game for a very long time. He hasn't done it for...
He's done it for Leroy. He was a champ at 22?
Yeah, but how many fights has he had?
John's official record is a cool 27-1, but that's really a bull bleep loss because he got disqualified.
But you see what I'm saying? That's, what is he,
37.
37. So he'd been fighting before 22. That's when he probably got his record. So he say he had...
Yeah, he broke in at 19 of the UFC.
Right, so say he had, what, 10, 15 fights before then?
His debut, he was 6-0, like Bo Nickel. Well, not like Bo Nickel. Bo Nickel got in. I think Wyman was the same thing. I think he was like 6 fights in, and then they got to the UFC.
So 6 fights in, and so he's had 21 fights in how many years? In almost 20 years?
Well, he did have a lot of suspensions.
That's my point, though. That's what I'm saying. You're saying he's going on his own terms. He didn't really fight.
I think you're dismissing a big career. I think you're dismissive.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You know, Tyson went to jail. He missed a few years, too.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
sat that 3.5 years.
Based on being in the game that long, right? He hasn't fought a lot of fights.
A lot of guys don't make it to this age, though.
Right, but I'm just, okay. Okay. I'm like, again, it's not a knock on John Jones. I'm just saying that he hasn't.
Well, he's still got the most, I mean, the most title defenses, obviously. Like, you don't think that that's a get to go out on your own terms type of guy. If he has only one or two more fights.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine if he only has one or two fights. I'm just saying that. Based on that sport, being in it since you were 19, and now being 37, 28 fights, from start to finish is not a lot of fights.
I'm not upset with that.
I'm not mad either.
If you're a top drawer and big name, you're not going to fight every Joe, you know, every Joe Schmo right there. You're going to fight the best, the one that's going to be the most profitable for you as well. So when he got, because remember, when you become champion, you're the champ, so you got to wait for guys. You definitely got to defend, but these guys have got to be a worthy contender. And there weren't a lot of, like, worthy contenders. Or if they were, he mopped them out real quick. So
the only
was Cormier. Real,
I would say, I mean.
And the other thing is you're changing. He was changing weight classes.
They didn't like each other.
But they didn't like each
and
other.
That's why. No, I know they didn't like each other. But is that why that became that big of a deal? Or was it because they were real competitive fights?
But they didn't like each other. They were both champions in different weight classes.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, he's been saying things this week. Like, oh, you know, Aspinall's been a bleep hole. I'm like, you told Daniel Cormier, I will literally kill you. Like, when you guys were Russia. Like, that was one of the nastiest fight buildups
of all time.
That was
the cocaine talking. Come on.
I don't know what it was. But all of a sudden, John's in this Zen blaze. I don't know. It's very interesting, though. I don't know. Maybe he's just tired of the punk kids. I don't understand.
I don't know. Stipe's a beast, though.
I know. I know he is, man. It should be a fun one. It's going to be a fun fight weekend this weekend. And it's going to be fun to see this guy in the octagon as well, because he's an absolute friggin' legend. Former champion Chris Weidman joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors and one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Chris Weidman joining us here, former UFC champ. Chris, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
We were just kicking it around about this whole John Jones, Tom Aspinall beef that's been the whole buzz this week. What do you make of this, Chris? As a guy, you've done it all. You want to go out always on your own terms, and I'm sure there's when some punk kids, you know, want to call you out and make their name off of you. Like, as a guy who's taken out a legend and, like, skyrocketed you, like, what did you feel is, like, the responsibility of the sport in that spot? Like, do you take on the young up and comer, or do you get to do what the hell you want because you've been doing this forever?
My honest thought is that I'm blown away that that's the talking point everybody's talking about. And then I feel like it's disrespectful to Stipe Miocic right now. I feel like people are forgetting. Why are we talking about Tom Aspinall right now when you should be talking about Stipe, man, one of the greatest fighters, the GOAT of the heavyweight division, coming back after such a long time? And I know John Jones, he's accomplished more than pretty much every fighter's resume is the epitome, you know, of what you want to accomplish in a sport. But, you know, Stipe's not looking at the things you're looking at. He's looking at all the decisions this dude's had with guys that he would probably just run right through. You know, he had a very, very close decision win over Dominic Reyes, where a lot of people had Dominic Reyes winning that fight. He had a five-round fight with Anthony Smith. He had a five-round fight with Thiago Santos. He had a five-round fight with Ovince St. Preux, whatever. I forget his last name. We'll
just rock with OSP.
About. Yeah, OSP. I think there might be one other. And if you paired up Stipe against any one of those guys, you'd probably predict that Stipe would run right through them. And I think people are forgetting that's what Stipe's looking at. You know, a lot of everybody else is looking at what John Jones did when he came up to heavyweight. He took down Ciryl Gane and finished him in the first round. And so I don't know. And, you know, and they're looking at Stipe. He's been off for a long time. He's older. But I think they're forgetting how tough Stipe is, and tough mentally. And then a great wrestler, too. And then also hits pretty damn hard, man. Great boxer.
Is that because he's not out there like a lot of these guys are? Like, everybody's trying to sell fights, and everybody's trying to talk trash, and everybody's trying to call somebody out. And Stipe just kind of goes about his business.
Yeah.
Right? I think, is that why they forget about how good he is?
Yeah, he doesn't do much media. He hasn't fought in a real long time. And so John Jones, he's been out there now. You know, he fought way more recently than Stipe. There's, you know, obviously Aspinall was calling him out all the time. So he's in the limelight more often, and people are just kind of forgetting about Stipe. So much so that he's like a 5-1 underdog.
Live dog in Chris Weidman's opinion? Very live dog in Chris Weidman's opinion?
Oh, man. Yeah.
100%. If I was able to bet. If I was allowed to bet on fights.
Of course.
That's a no-brainer.
Where are you at, Chris? Because, you know, I mean, I was in the building when that injury occurred in Jacksonville. That was, you know, that was crazy. And I imagine you've had plenty of people say, like, come on, man, what do you want to keep doing this for? But how important is it for you to be able to do things on your own terms. Like, we hear this locally a lot with Tua Tagovailoa with the concussion thing. And he's like, I want to keep doing it because I love this and no one's going to tell me when to do it. Like, do you have that in you as well? Like, it's like, I don't want, you know, you guys to dictate with it. Like, I have plenty of stock in knowing when I can keep doing this and how long I want to keep doing this.
Yeah, 100% is going to come down to me and not anybody else. And yeah, I think a lot of why I'm still doing it at this point is probably because of the injuries I've suffered. You know, I've had 30 surgeries, and then with that leg break, probably the most catastrophic injury in the history of the sport, the only compound fracture that ever was in the UFC. And everything I had to go through to come back, I just, you know, in the beginning, it was about just trying to walk again and play with my kids. And then it slowly became, I got to come back and get back in there. There was a lot of tough days and moments of doubt, but I persevered. And now it's just like, I'm very competitive. I'm competitive with myself, and I'm trying to do great things still. And I feel good. Like, my body's came together. I've learned to work around things and build on things and listen to my body more than ever. And I feel really good right now. In the gym, I'm still doing my thing. It's like, I'm not usually, you know, guys start retiring when they're getting beat up in the gym, you know, for the first time, and they're losing to these up and comers and they're noticing themselves slowing down. Because that's where you spend most of your time, is in the gym with all these guys who are training for the same thing that you're training for. And I really haven't slowed down at all. I feel great. So we'll see how I perform under the lights, because that's really what all that matters. But if I still feel like I have more to give, and my body's hanging in there, I'm gonna do what I can. I think it's also like a big part of it, because of the injuries, like, I think it's inspiring for other people to see everything I've been through and what I overcame, and like, and I want to finish strong.
It kind of seems like it has really nothing to do with anybody else but you. You can't go out like that. You gotta be comfortable with how you end your career, and you ain't there yet.
No, not there yet. And it would be a great place. I kind of wish I was ready to retire right now, because it would be pretty cool to put down my gloves in MSG, you know, from New York. But I'm not. I just don't feel like I'm ready yet to do that.
So I was seeing this embedded. You look like a super dad with the landscaping. Like, is this something that Chris Weidman takes a lot of pride in? Are you a lawn man? Are you always out there with doing the weed whacker? Like, is this something you obsess over?
I'm kind of into it. I have a weed whacker, but I got a new edger with the two blades. I never had that before. I always would do all the edging with my weed whacker, and it was kind of like all over the place. Now I got the edger, man. Anybody who doesn't have one of those things with the blades, it makes it look so good.
So we're sitting here having a conversation with one of the baddest men to walk the face of the earth, and your advice to us is go get one of those edges with the two blades.
100%. Yeah. Oh, other advice. I have one of those battery powered blowers. One of my buddies is a landscaper. I used to work with him forever, but now he's got his own business. I got a Husqvarna 580 BTS. Check it out. It's like a commercial grade blower. Oh my God. Like, the feeling when you put that on, like, I don't care if the leaves are wet. I don't care if it rains. All the leaves are gone. I do my whole front lawn in like 15, 20 minutes. And
oh my goodness.
I could hang out with that backpack on all day long. It's so much fun. Yeah. I want to just do all my neighbors' houses. That's how good it is.
This feels like Chris Weidman needs.
And I don't have a sponsor with Husqvarna.
No, I know.
Someone's out there. I'd love one. I used to use the Husqvarna blower, snow blower, when I lived in New York. That thing was a beast, but it was a beast. It was expensive, but, man, during those snowstorms that they're bad, the pin, you know, I don't know if you guys are in Miami.
So, yeah. I lived in Cleveland, though, and Memphis. Oh, okay. So
you know about snow. There's like these safety pins. If something kicks up like a rock or something, it snaps that safety pin, and it's like below freezing. Trying to change those safety pins and like get it working again because it won't work out, that's a nightmare. And if you don't have extra safety pins, it's a problem. So there's a bunch of times I love Husqvarna because it's legit stuff, but there was times where I was out in the freaking blizzard and my snowblower's not working and I don't have an extra safety pin. There's nothing I could do. I'm down to shoveling. And that was a nightmare.
So it was like the first stop after the purse comes in is to Home Depot. Like, is that immediately where it's like, is that immediately where you go reward yourself?
So yeah, probably what I'll do is, so I had a sponsorship with Greenworks. It's a great company, battery powered thing, battery powered you know, lawnmower I have, and they sent me a bunch of stuff. And the problem is, I got this new I put down new sod in my front yard. It's Palisade Zoysia is the type of grass, and the Zoysia is very thick. It's I'm sure it's in a lot in Florida because it's a hot weather grass, and you want to cut it low. And the problem is with the battery powered one, it's so thick that it keeps stopping. It can't handle how thick that grass is down low. So I gotta go with a gas powered lawnmower now too. Probably get one of those lawn boys, you know.
Hey,
this
just
is
like
amazing. I would have never guessed in a million years that the things that excite you right now are the things that you can do lawn work with.
I'm an old man. I'm 40 years old. I got kids. I'm just, you know, it's like, hey, that's my peace. That's, I go outside, Chris, and like, my wife's not yelling at me for anything. I
Chris,
can just
tell me
do
this.
The lawn.
So I have a thing. If I never want to be bothered, right? Because you're in the house, kids running around, you got the dogs, the wife's yapping at you. Yeah. If I go outside and pressure clean, nobody bothers me.
Oh yeah, the pressure just, cleaning.
Nobody want to mess with that pressure.
100%. Nobody else wants to do it. You would have to pay someone else to do it for a lot of money. So you're doing the good. You're doing a good thing for your family. You're saving money and you're making things look nice. I love the pressure. I got a pressure cleaner too, man, and I like it. But man, it's such a hassle taking that thing out and bringing it out, and you know, with the hose, the water's everywhere. It's that's a big job. It's a big job.
But it's a quiet job.
That's needing a lot of
attention. You're right. It's a quiet job. If you want a couple hours to yourself, yeah, it is the way to go. It's peaceful.
Before we get you out of here, you guys can see Chris Wyman this week. UFC 309 fighting Eric Anders. Always a thrill watching him in the octagon. I saw your top five movies that you did on your Instagram. Two on the list have sequels coming out. I want to know which one Chris Wyman's more excited for. So Happy Gilmore 2 or Gladiator 2? Which one are you more pumped up for?
I know more about the Happy Gilmore 2, and I'm really excited about that. I mean, that's such a classic. I love Adam Sandler. Met him a couple times. He's the man. They casted me for Happy Gilmore 2. I was praying to be on that thing. But I think my manager sent like an old video of me swinging at a golf club, and I wasn't too smooth with it. And I'm kind of pissed off she sent that, because I think that's why they didn't pick me. Because I had ins. Like, I'm friends with Kevin James. He FaceTimed Sandler in front of me and was like, yeah, you got to get my boy Wyman on the show. I mean, on the movie. And I was so excited. It was going to be during this camp too. I would have to, the whole thing was filmed in Jersey. I'm like, all right, I'll go out to Jersey. I'll film and I'll do training on the side. I don't care. Anything to be in Happy Gilmore too. But they didn't pick me, damn it. Yeah, but I would say I'm probably most excited for that. I don't know who's playing in the Gladiator 2.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If it's not Russell Crowe,
I got a feeling it's not Russell Crowe. Or like, he's going to be like wise mentor Gladiator in this one if he is.
Yeah. I'm interested on how they do that. I don't know if they came out with any information on that yet, but I haven't seen it.
Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one. Take care. Right.
There you go. All absolute right. One of the best. Chris Wyman,
hey.
See, full middleweight champ.
Old people in that weed whacking. Every old man got they weed whacking story. I told you what I told y'all. Hey, when I know ain't nobody going to mess with me if I just go outside. Look, I put my headphones on, or my earbuds in, and start pressure cleaning. Because it's like, they think, I said, when you first get it, they say, ooh, can I try? And then I say, it's like painting your driveway with a Sharpie. Be careful. And they go out there for like 2 seconds, they're like, I'm done.
Gladiator 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Mescal brothers will be in Gladiator 2. You know who they are if you see him. Pedro Pascal. He the kind of,
oh, okay.
And, oh, yeah.
And his brother, Paul.
They're fighting?
It's two of them?
Yeah.
I guess he was just the Mandalorian.
Yeah, one is playing
Pedro.
Paul is playing Lucian.
Pedro's in everything.
He has been racking up the
yeah,
gigs.
He's even doing that commercial. He's like, I think it's a Corona commercial, a beer commercial, whatever.
Yeah.
I think you know Denzel Washington. He's playing Maximus. And, Jimon Hounsou. He's playing Juba. He was in the first one. Yeah. Connie Nielsen will be playing Lucilla. Yeah, they've got some notable actors here. I think this Gladiator 2 is going to be good. But you got Denzel, so I'm already in.
I think I'm more excited for Happy Gilmore 2.
Well, come on. You love Anthony.
I love the silly sauce.
Wait, but here's the deal. I give you the same thing with that. What part of Happy Gilmore made the movie? You know the girl that he ended up with at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
She's the star. She was in the star of that sitcom. Something Us.
By the way, my bad. They're not
This
brothers.
Is Us?
This Is Us. I think she was no, not
That's
no,
Mandy
not
Moore,
that.
Dude.
No, not her. Wait. It's a somebody hit me up. I know it's a comedy.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We got to take a break.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll take a break, get a reset. Thanks to Chris Wyman. That was a lot of fun. Take a break, yep. And back with more after this.